Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to a brand new podcast. We are the First Pioneers. So this is a podcast all about the Pioneer format. I will introduce myself and my hosts just in a second here, but for anyone who just happened to stumble upon this, this is a Magic the Gathering podcast all about Pioneer, which is a brand new format as of October of 2019, and it is in a non-rotating format consisting of all cards going back from Return to Ravnica to Modern Times to whatever the current sets are. So anything that's been legal in Standard is now legal in this new Pioneer, except for fetches.
Yes.
So why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves? So I am joined here by my two co-hosts. So my name's Kevin Finkel. I am a big Magic enthusiast, been playing Magic for a very, very long time. I was pretty much playing Magic before I was born, or before I could read,
before I was born.
Because I had an older brother and parents that were playing Magic and just jumped right in. Stopped playing, you know, sometime around Mirrodin when I think a lot of people stopped, and then really picked back up in like Khans of Tarkir era. So that's, I think a lot of other people kind of had that same timeline of, you know, jumping back in Khans of Tarkir, Fate Reforged, some great sets there. And that's how I got into Frontier, which was a format that's now dead, now completely dead, but consisted of basically those modern, those more recent sets. Why don't we go ahead and introduce my co-hosts here?
All right. Hey, guys. Matt Murday here. You might recognize me by my online handle, SciTurkey. My kind of Magic story is pretty similar to Finkel's, where I played when I was a kid, stopped around Mirrodin, and picked up again around Khans. And kind of as I've lived in Toronto for a little while, and for a while Toronto had like a really big Frontier scene where I got to play just like a ton of paper Frontier and really fell in love with the just the card pool, right? So just having played that format for so long, kind of the Frontier, or sorry, not Frontier, Pioneer is now just like that natural progression for me, and just being really familiar with that card pool.
All right. So my name is Ryan Schwenk, and I am the Japan hobbyist out of Yokohama, Japan. I've been living in Japan on and off since about 2005, and I started playing Magic back like during Ice Age, way, way back when. But I didn't really get competitive until like everybody else here around the Khans of Tarkir block. So I have tons of cards. Actually, no. Return to Ravnica is when I pretty much got back into it. So I'm super psyched for Pioneer. I'm super ready. I have all the cards. I'm good to go. I played a lot of paper Frontier at Hallelujah, I played a lot of paper Frontier events. At Hallelujah, when they had events for their God of Frontier challenge and whatnot over the last 2 years or so. So, I mean, Matt said he plays a lot of paper or played a lot of paper Frontier. I played a lot as well. I'm hoping I can use that experience to kind of, you know, teach, you know, our listeners, you know, what I hope all of us can use our Frontier experience to kind of teach everybody what we know and impart that knowledge to them.
Yeah, so we keep bringing up Frontier here, and that's where I think we should talk about the fact that so the three of us for the last 2 years now, we've been doing a podcast that's been all about Frontier, and you know, not very many people played Frontier, so not a ton of listeners there, but we've been having a great time with it. We love to talk about the format, we love to brew, we love to do a lot of things with that. And for us, this is the perfect transition over into Pioneer, which is really the Magic, the Wizard-sanctioned version of what we were playing already. So we're hoping that our knowledge, that our experience in the Frontier format will translate over well. We've got people that really were playing Frontier in the few places where it was serious, in Toronto as well as in Japan, over where they began at Hallelujah and Big Magic in Tokyo. And that's really what we are. So we are a group that is extremely excited. We were the final Frontier, and we are now the first Pioneers. Looking forward to we're the last ones jumping that ship, and the first ones jumping right on. Cannot be more excited.
So with that in mind, we kind of want to take a look at what decks were big in Frontier, and how we think, you know, the new card pool and the, you know, the loss of fetches, all that stuff kind of translates into Pioneer, you know. So what was good in Frontier, what you need to know about how that translates to Pioneer, and kind of go from there.
Yeah, and but we're keeping an open mind. You know, we're excited about this, and we know that things will be different. Not everything that was strong will be just as strong in Pioneer, and vice versa. I'm sure there's some things that will be strong in Pioneer that we never could have dreamed of in Frontier. So I'm excited about that. This is, you know, the format's been out for a day and a half here, and this is really us getting basically your first impressions on the format. Anything we can hear about, anything we can think about. You know, we're all brewing. We've got some decks in mind, but I think let's talk about what we think are some of the most powerful decks in the format, what we are expecting the format to do right off the bat, you know, day zero, day one here.
Yeah, so if I'm looking to kind of break this format immediately, I want to play the most powerful deck on day one. Mm-hmm. The very first deck I'm looking at is Red Deck Wins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was just like a long-standing, one of the best decks in Frontier. It got an enormous power-up from Theros. So if we're looking at things like Eidolon of the Great Rebel, that card is a beating.
Yeah, so when people think about, you know, Mono Red, they think about the Atarka Red era. They think about the M15 era with Rabble Master. They think about the, Ramunap Red being a very powerful deck. So really, all throughout the recent standards, there's been a powerful red deck, and we get to take and pick and choose all those best parts and put them together.
Yeah, Frontier had the red-green, but now we're looking at, what, red-white as well?
Yeah, I think there's two big choices here, right? So you're kind of three core cards. You're going to have four of these no matter what your red deck is, and that's Eidolon, Monastery Swift Spear, and Soulscar Mage.
Ooh, I'm not sold on four Eidolon in the main just because it's so dangerous against other aggro, but yeah, go on.
I think it's a four of, and I think it's an easy four of. It's just, does so much damage.
All right, I'm already going to anecdote you. I had a guy play turn two Eidolon. I went back with turn three Nissa, and that game was over. The 5-mana Nissa.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah, if you're playing five drops on three, sometimes you're going to roll over them, right? That's not an argument against Eidolon. Eidolon's a great card.
Sure.
So those are the three, I think, like the really true core. And then you're kind of, do you want to play Atarka's Command? Or do you want to play Boros Charm, right?
Yeah. So
I think that's the big question that people have to answer in this format. Mm-hmm. Atarka's Command is probably like a little bit better on raw power, where Boros Charm the pull into Boros Charm is just smoother mana because the enemy colors just have a better mana base right now.
So personally, I don't think it's that binary that there's only those two. I don't mind looking at, you know, something like a Bushwhacker build. I don't mind looking at a Cavalcade build. I don't mind looking at a version that's going to Experimental Frenzy. So there are a few more ways you could go with this. I don't think I'm 100% sold yet. I don't even know if I want to splash a color yet. So definitely Red Deck Wins will be a deck. We don't know the build of it yet. We're not going to tell you we know the build of it yet, because that's something that the pros and hopefully us alongside them will be discovering soon.
I think it's Boros, just saying.
Just coming out of Japan, I know when we were playing, you know, Frontier in the past, Atarka was always the de facto the best, I think. But in Japan, it was always mono red with like Ramunap, you know, the Ramunap for Ruins, I believe, from Hour of Devastation. You give all your guys, deal two damage. You know, just like the straight mono red, Bomet Courier, stuff like that. So I mean, there's so many different ways to build red. It's insane. Whichever card the meta game requires, you can play it.
So one thing I want to make a quick note about here before we move on is one of the things you often hear early on in the development of a format is, you know, just play aggro decks. Just play like a red deck wins. It's the best day one because no one. Like, the control decks can't really prepare for everything, and it's just kind of chaotic and unrefined.
People are trying fun things, blah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Red Deck Wins is here to stay. It's not just, like, a day one deck. The raw power of these cards and the speed of this deck is so blistering fast that it is going to be a staple. And if you were to, say, buy into this deck, you will have a deck down the road that will be good, that will take you to tournaments. Red Deck Win is probably the best deck on day one. And it'll hold up across a lifetime of Pioneer.
Now, okay, one last. Is this a Smuggler's Copter deck?
Probably.
Because I know that in Frontier,
what's not a
it usually
Smuggler's
was.
Copter deck?
Okay, well, okay. I think a lot of things aren't a Smuggler's Copter deck.
I mean, if you're playing an aggro deck, not like a burn deck, then I think it's a Smuggler's Copter deck.
Okay. So I actually think it's not a Smuggler's Copter deck, and I don't even think it was a Smuggler's Copter deck for a very long time towards the end of Frontier.
I agree with that. I think that it sort of stopped being so much of a Smuggler's Copter deck because, you know, everyone was running Answers to Smuggler's Copter. I almost want to say that maybe this is a place where if you're playing this on day one, people might not know that, hey, you've got to have Fatal Push, you've got to have Lightning Strike and a Braid. Some people might be lax on those, and it might be a place where Smuggler Copter will run away with games on its own.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think people are going to be packing, I would almost say more removal, but they're going to have greedy builds where they're just trying to, like, dirtle, and it doesn't matter that they have more removal. Just turn your dude sideways.
You can't dirtle and Pioneer? No way.
All right, I'm going to move us along. So you were saying Pioneer Day 1, you would be playing this Mono Red deck. I think I have another deck that, especially as a Day 1, Day 0 deck, I would go even more towards, and that would be Dredge for me. So this was a deck...
I shouldn't say I would be playing Atarka, or sorry, Mono Red. I think...
You'd be recommending, perhaps?
I would recommend Dredge, you're right.
Dredge is harder to play, I think, for new players. I think red is a straightforward. It's easy to pick up, easy to play.
I think that's fair.
Easy to explore.
If you're worried about that.
I think Red Deck Wins is the best deck in the format day one. I think Dredge is an excellent meta call day one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not sure how those align. But okay, but let's quick go over this deck. So I actually wanted to kind of say is like, you know, a lot of people, a lot of pros even are saying right off the bat is that, oh, this is only going to be standard decks bashed up against each other. You know, I think the professor from Tolarian College just did a video
he
was complaining that it's only going to be standard decks. I think this is the perfect foil to that, is that this is a already off the bat tier one deck and really does not exist in any other format in this kind of build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, modern Dredge never really looked at this. Standard didn't have a deck that worked this way. So, you know, we've got Stitcher Supplier, Seder Wayfinder, Gather the Pack is usually another one used to fill the grave. Mm-hmm. We've also got Grizzly Salvage, which fills the grave, and then you're milling over things like Prized Amalgam, Narcomoeba, you're milling your Creeping Chills, and mm-hmm. Driven to Despair is really the glue to this deck. That is such a powerful card, and just does some insane things out of the graveyard. And then A Haunted Dead brings everything back, and Gurmad Angler is usually a standard card that A, makes this deck great against the red decks, and B, just... it's a huge body that beats things down for one mana.
Tell them about Driven to Despair real quick. Because I don't know if many of our readers know, or many of our listeners know.
I've actually seen a lot of people seriously underrating Driven to Despair. So like, just in like the early conversations you're having about the format, where people have not necessarily played with all this card pool and how they interact together. Mm-hmm. And people, oh, you know, Driven to Despair is a bad card. Why would you play that? But it's just like, it's almost like... yeah, it's almost just like having a combo kill, because you just go mm-hmm. so wide so fast, and then just all of a sudden they have nothing left in their hand, right?
Yeah, so in the Frontier version of this, I've certainly played it where, you know, they've got answers to a graveyard deck. They're playing, you know, maybe Kalidus, and it doesn't matter if you can make them discard their entire hand on turn 4.
I mean, because this is just putting it straight into the graveyard. Yeah, that definitely, the Kalidus is usually too slow, I think. I mean, especially if you get like a god hand, you know, Citrus Supplier, mm-hmm. putting Narcomoeba and two Prized Amalgams, you know, into the graveyard, it's game over.
So I think the specific reason why I do call this as my day one, day zero deck is that not everyone's going to know that this is a tier one deck. Not mm-hmm. everyone's going to have the necessary graveyard hate, because the graveyard hate is definitely in this format. I just don't know if everyone will know to be playing it day one. And on top of that, it is good against those aggro decks, and people tend to play, you know, mono linear aggro on day one because it's easy, it's straightforward.
Is it a three-color deck, or is it a two-color deck?
I think it has a very light blue splash. I think it's green-black, and it probably runs, like, a couple white or blue-black lands, mm-hmm. you know, like, just
yeah,
in case.
Yeah, it has Prized Amalgam and Narcomoeba, but you'd prefer not to cast either of them.
Exactly.
You'd prefer to just discard them. I have seen enough blue to make it viable to cast Disdainful Stroke from the sideboard, mm-hmm. but I don't know if that's totally necessary.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry about that. I've got a dog.
So, yeah, super cool deck. Very hard to learn right off the bat, I think, but if you are a accomplished player, I think you could pick it up and really enjoy it.
I will say, I think this is one of the decks that's less likely to stand the test of time, mm-hmm. but it's a deck that you need, like, absolutely, no question, you need to have this deck on your radar early in the meta.
Yeah, you need to have...
Yeah, I think it'll remain a bogeyman, if nothing else. I think that if people lax on their graveyard hate, then something like this will happily come back anytime they want to.
Do you mean bogeyman? Yeah. Not bogeyman?
Bogey's a word, though.
Boogie. Bogey is like in Top Gun. You know, you have a bogey on your radar.
Yeah, a bad guy, man.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we're not bogeying with the man.
Speaking of bogeys, let's talk about our next deck.
Okay.
Do we want to hear what, Ryan, what would you play on day one, or are you going to play something a little too fun?
I don't know. I mean, I kind of talked about this the other day, but I like Collected Company decks a lot.
Ooh, okay.
There's just so many different ways to play it now. I mean, if you're playing a green-white deck, like, for example, I want to build, like, a green-white, maybe some kind of Hate Bears type deal, and I would play four Collected Company in the deck no matter what. You know, you have, like, your Voice of Resurgence, you got your Loxodon Smiters now. I mean, maybe you have the, I forgot the name, the one from the new Guilds of Ravnica, the Centaur that has, like, the three different modes. I can't remember the name. But, like, that...
Yeah.
There's just so many value cards
at
2 and 3 that you can play. If you want to play like Bant Company with like Spellqueller and Reflector Mage, that's an awesome deck as well. You could do straight up all humans, you know, like Bant Humans with like Thalia's Lieutenant. I mean, if I wanted to kind of like fight against all the people that are going to be playing their Thought Seizes and their Control and, you know, the aggro, I would do this.
All right, so I think that's maybe reasonable. You know, there's definitely a deck there, and I think there will be several Coco decks in the format. I am also going to say, for our listeners who don't know us so much, Matt and I tend to be a little bit more of the spiky side of things. You know, we get very serious about competitive Magic, and we try not to tease Ryan too much for being a lot more of our Timmy. He's the heart of our podcast here, but sometimes we'll just be like, no, you can't play that. You can never play that card. It's not good.
Yeah, I hate
blue. I don't think this is one of those times. Collected Company is certainly a playable card, but I do think that there's some ways you might get taken advantage of trying to play like a fair green
white deck. It is fair.
I
would
say
that.
Of things.
It is pretty fair.
So I actually think Coco is like legitimately likely to be like a tier one deck. I feel like you guys are underselling Coco here.
But we don't know what the correct build is going to be. Is it going to be Bant? Is it going to be? I mean, you could do green black elves if you wanted to. I mean, there's just so many different ways to build.
For me, I think the good money is probably on humans. Just they're the most proactive, aggressive strategy. I think spirits is also another option. And I think we'll see smatterings of value here and there. But I think by and large, to me, humans is the archetype to beat in Coco.
And what about Rally? That's usually been a Coco deck, and that was a very powerful standard deck.
Was it a Coco deck, or was it a Rally deck?
I mean, it was a Coco deck first and foremost. Yeah, but yes is a perfectly viable answer. But kind of bringing back, just to kind of bring it back to this question is, you know, a couple players or a couple pros I've also seen saying is like, hey, you know, this is a format in their expectation that will have things banned. So if you're not playing a deck that you feel like needs to be banned out, you might not be playing the right deck. Do you guys agree with that sentiment, or do you think that maybe there won't be bans? Maybe this format can self-balance well enough?
I think getting towards the end of Frontier, especially in Tokyo, I'm like, well, this card needs to go because the metagame just kind of shifted all towards either this or this deck.
I think a lot of the decks that were problems in Frontier lost a lot in the shuffle. So a lot of the decks in Frontier that were really problematic were four-color combo decks.
Mm-hmm.
And four color just is not something that's realistic to be in this format. The mana is just so much harder, and it's so much more painful. And to be honest, red deck wins, as good as it was in Frontier, is going to punish you even harder in Pioneer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can play four colors, but you're going to be playing a lot of tap lands. You'll be the speed of a standard four color deck, and those are usually pretty slow. They sometimes just, you know, I didn't find my black cards or my black mana, I lose this game.
I mean,
yeah, you can't really afford to do that.
I've seen red deck wins in this format already kill on turn three. So like, it doesn't sound like a winning proposition to go for the slow four color combo plan. And when I say slow, I mean a lot of the combo decks in Frontier are winning on turn four.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, you just cannot afford to stumble on your mana.
With an optimal hand, right? Yeah.
As
painful as a turn one Thought Seize is, I think that's also going to be a great card just to kind of keep those kind of unfair decks in check. You know, like maybe the combo decks, which we should probably talk about next. But
so I actually do want to clarify before we get into that is I don't think Rally is a combo deck to beat. I think turn five kind of soft combo is just, it's way too slow in a format as high power as this.
So I think there are some different ways to build Rally. Now, I don't know if you have to straight up do the Rally with the Nantuko Husk anymore, because now you have Cartel Aristocrats. Now you have, Yahenny and stuff like that. There's various wizards. Valraz, I think, is another
one. Yeah, I'll be going pretty deep on it tonight. I've got a whole list of things I want to talk about with Rally, but that'll be it for another time. I don't want to go into it during this episode.
Okay, so what do you guys want to talk about next?
So you were talking about a couple things. You were talking about Thoughtseize decks. You were also talking about combo decks. Is there one or the other that we want to touch on?
Let's jump right into combo. I think that's the kind of the more important one.
Okay.
And for me, the reason is by the end of Frontier, combo decks were really, really degenerate and crushing out the rest of the meta. So I think for me, the two big ones to watch are obviously Saheeli. I think everybody online kind of knows about that one already. The secret's out of the bag.
Saheeli Rai, Felidar
Guardian. The cat's out of the bag. It's a freaking cat, man. It's Felidar Guardian. All right,
we'll make that pun.
Yeah. I got to leave something for you guys.
Okay.
And Ascendancy, obviously. Jeskai Ascendancy would be the other one. For my personal opinion in Frontier, Jeskai Ascendancy was by far not close the strongest deck for the majority of the format.
Definitely not for the majority. Maybe near the end, it was one of the strongest decks.
Okay. I would say for the last year of the format.
So Jeskai Ascendancy is definitely something that's really interesting for me in Pioneer, because I think there's a lot of ways to play it. Mm-hmm. In the history of Magic, there's kind of been four different Jeskai Ascendancy combo decks alone. In Standard, you really had the one that was using Retraction Helix, and it was bouncing zero mana artifacts, replaying them, and untapping a creature repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
In Modern, you had more of a version that was depending on a lot of mono creatures. There's that one that comes back from the graveyard and untaps Fate Stitcher, I think. And that also had Treasure Cruise in it when it was legal, and that was really what powered out that deck. You also in Frontier, you had the version that had Sylvan Ascendancy. So that was what you're really talking about, where you play Sylvan Ascendancy, it turns all your lands into creatures, and then you can just win the game by casting anything repeatedly.
Yeah, that is low-key, going to surprise a lot of people, I think, in the Pioneer format.
That's something that, if we're talking, it's just standard decks, that wasn't a standard deck. Yeah. That's something new.
The cards saw zero play, but it's definitely one of the key cards in Jeskai Ascendancy.
And then the last one, I think, is the most recent, is that Emery of the Loke decks. Those can also be an Ascendancy deck. That can go off very early on with some Mox Ambers.
So, not Sylvan Ascendancy, Sylvan Awakening was the name.
Yeah, Sylvan Awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah, the deck was usually called Sylvan Ascendancy, together.
Yeah, together, okay.
Yeah,
I was kind of just those are the four versions, and I think that there's a lot of testing that's going to need to be done to figure out what of those is actually good, if any of them.
Yeah, and I think Saheeli then is the next one, where in Frontier it tended to be usually a grindy, planeswalkery fair game. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of accidentally had the combo, so it was capable of killing you on its own just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, but you weren't really ever allowed to tap out to develop your board against that.
What's easier to disrupt?
Saheeli, by far Saheeli. But Saheeli has the stronger fair game to make up for it.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to say, I think right behind those, for me, was always Marvel. And I think that it does get a little... It was always a little bit weaker than Saheeli. Saheeli was just the slightly faster combo deck and the slightly more resilient. But for me, Marvel's only a three-color combo deck, and I think that gives it a slight leg up here, where I think it'll be competitive. I think out of the gate, people will certainly be playing it, and there's good hate cards against it, but we're going to need to see them be played, or it's not going to do anything.
So for me, I actually think Ascendancy is just a straight bad deck. Not Ascendancy, Marvel, yeah. It will see play, but with Teferi Time Raveler shutting it off, and Time Raveler straight up being one of the best cards in the format that's going to get played all over the place.
So it's cast, right?
Yeah. And Teferi shuts it off entirely. Mm-hmm. So I think do yourself a favor and avoid Marvel if that's if you're looking to break the format and have a deck for a long time.
But people that aren't ready for it are going to get run over.
Yeah, people who aren't prepared for it will get run over. You know, if you're not playing a Teferi deck, you might have trouble with it. You're going to need something like Craft Digger's Cage. You're going to need something like Pithing Needle or Sorcerer's Spyglass. So you kind of have to shut that off.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think early on it might see some results, but in the long term, it being weak to Teferi, and like not just weak to Teferi, just your deck does not function to Teferi. That is a really bad spot to be.
It's like you drafted Teferi on turn. I mean, especially if the other person's playing first, you're pretty much done. If you play first and you have a mana creature or something, maybe you can get it off in time, but that's really asking a lot.
Yeah, I mean, so what it really boils down to is I don't know which of these combo decks is going to be the best, which is kind of like all the other decks we've talked about so far. I've had an inkling in what I think is the best. With the combo ones, I really don't know. I think there probably will be a tier one combo list. What it is a little unclear to me, and I think it's the really big puzzle to solve here is the mana and whether or not you can solve that puzzle without dying to red deck wins every time.
All right, why don't we go towards a mid-range? Because we're talking about, you know, what's best aggro, what's best combo. When we talk about mid-range, now, so for people who never played any Frontier, didn't really know anything about it, a lot of people think, oh, it was probably a Siege Rhino format. Historically, mid-range was always by far the worst archetype in Frontier. It just never really got its legs.
It was rarely, if ever, playable, in large part because it couldn't beat red deck wins while also beating some of the grindier control decks.
Jeskai beat it a lot too. The Jeskai,
and then combo was almost unwinnable for it.
Yeah. When we saw, you know, an Abzan deck, it was usually Siege Rhino was the top of their curve, like the very top of their curve. Whereas in standard, it would sometimes be, you know, Coursers the start of your curve, and then Siege Rhino and Planeswalkers and things above that.
Like I would even go as far as to say like it's what a collected here? Company deck now.
No, I don't know about that.
No, for sure.
There's a lot of good 2 and 3 drops.
Yeah, but we're looking at like a mid... I mean, don't get me wrong. Coco is a mid-range deck. But it's... I feel like it's distinct enough that what we're really talking about here is green-black X Thoughtseize.
And that's what changes here is that we have Thoughtseize, and that is such a good card for mid-range, and that's going to change a lot of matchups just on its own.
Yeah, and I guess probably another thing that's changed really recently is Oko. He's just so strong in so many situations. So whether we're actually looking at a Siege Rhino format or an Oko format as far as mid-range goes, that's still up in the air for me too.
And the third way to go would be Jund or just straight green-black.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to say, in the builds I've tried so far with Abzan, and maybe I'm just terrible at Abzan, but I have not at all been impressed by Abzan in the testing I've done for Pioneer. I have tried a fair bit.
Have you tried Delirium at all?
So I've tried Delirium in the sense that like I have Grim Flayer and like I try to turn it on a little bit, but I haven't gone full Turbo Emrakul, if that's what you're asking.
What about the removal? I like the removal in Green Black a lot.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
It's some of the best.
So Assassin's Trophy is still great. I like Abrupt Decay a surprising amount just because it kills Oko so well.
Yeah, I mean, there is an absolutely insane pile of cards in Abzan, right? So if we're looking at
Voice of Resurgence.
Voice of Resurgence, Fleece Mane Lion, Grim Flayer. You have your Courser of Kruphix. Anna Fenza has always just been like a pretty crazy card that accidentally hates on Dredge, which is an important one we've mentioned.
Hey, you know, we're kind of dancing around something important here as far as, you know, green and black and great in mid-range, banned in Legacy. What about Deathrite Shaman? How do you guys feel about it? And do you think it's going to be good in this format?
I think it's going to be a fair card now that we don't use fetches.
So there's basically two ends to this spectrum, right? So when you talk to people about this, they either think it's amazing, card was banned in Modern, Legacy, so good, or they think it's just like unusable, can't even play it in the format, trash. And I think the answer is a little more in the middle than that. For me, I see it as it's basically a copter buddy. If you're in a deck that needs a copter pilot, it is like an incidentally good one drop that you can use to, you know, gain life for a Satarka. You can hate out, or not a Tarka, sorry, old habits die hard. So you can use it to gain life first, you know, red deck wins. You can kind of hate out the Dig Through Time Treasure Cruise decks by just eating up their graveyard and chipping them down. You can, you know, take away all of Dredge's, you know, toys.
I would consider it like a hate bear card even now. You know, we don't have Dredge's.
It's always had, it's had so much versatility that can always do that. Where I've kind of see it, maybe I want to see if you guys think the same way, is that I've seen it in some places where I don't think it belongs. Do you guys think that you need to have some way in your deck to put lands in the graveyard for it to be good?
I think if you're not a copter deck, you should not be playing Deathrite Shaman, full stop.
Yeah, you get more value. Well,
what if you've got something like Wayfinder or you know, I've seen it in builds of Dredge, and I don't hate that.
Yeah, I just, to me, so it's a dork in that case that doesn't turn on turn two, which is the most important turn for a dork. So like you're doing backflips to try and turn this thing on. I don't see it.
Okay, and then the other part of what I was saying is that I've seen this in mono black decks and I've seen this in green non black decks. Do you think that's acceptable if you're playing this and you're only getting one side of that, the green ability or the black ability, and not both?
So
I'm a little skeptical, but I need more context. I think
so. If you're like a green white deck, you have no black sources whatsoever. Do you feel okay playing Deathrite Shaman?
You're not.
I do think the green side's stronger, for what it's worth.
The gain more relevant, exiling a creature.
Yeah, I think that the life gain part of it is more relevant usually. But I'm inclined to say no. You probably need both sides.
I'm kind of liking Deathrite Shaman in a Delirium build. I think Delirium would benefit greatly. It's already putting cards in there. It's not so hyper aggressive as Dredge, because, I mean, Deathrite Shaman doesn't have a lot of great synergy with Dredge, you know, as far as, like, it doesn't put anything into the graveyard. It doesn't come back from the graveyard. I think it'd be more of a Delirium, you know, focused card.
When you say a Delirium focused card, are you talking Turbo Emrakul, or are you talking,
like Turbo Emrakul / Delirium. I mean, like, you're playing, like, an Ishkana and stuff like that or whatever. It's more like a...
I have a lot of trouble seeing that, primarily because, historically, that deck has wanted to wipe the board a whole bunch. You know, they'll play their Satyr Wayfinders, but it's like, it's only there to chump and fill the yard so they can Emrakul super fast.
Yeah.
And other than that, they're kind of, you know, they're using their Languishes and just kind of killing your things. They're closer to control than mid-range, where I think you need to have bodies for Deathrite Shaman to be good, right? Because, I mean, here's the thing too, right? Like, a big part of those decks is that your removal's kind of bad against them. Because, like, what are you going to do? Point your Fatal Pushes at Satyr Wayfinder? All right, go ahead.
So we got one more archetype to talk about, right?
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about one last archetype here, and then we're going to call it an episode, and hopefully get back to brewing some more Pioneer. So what we didn't talk about yet, and I think is the big thing that a lot of people are excited about right off the bat, is real control decks.
I don't know about real control decks.
Okay,
but like,
I know that you and I will have this argument. Is this going to be, you know, we're playing a counter spell every turn, or is this going to be we're tapping out for a bunch of planeswalkers and still calling ourselves control?
Yeah. So it's like right now we're looking at blue white X control, probably Esper.
Okay.
Or a straight blue white.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of people, their minds go to right away. You know, they see Teferi Time Raveler, and that makes the most sense, alongside Supreme Verdict, alongside Sphinx's Revelation. The big Teferi is quite good. You know, you've got Elspeth Sun Champion as a 6-drop, extremely powerful way to end the game.
And then you kind of have old mainstays like Jace, Architect of Thought. Obviously, this is a Dig Through Time format, so that's really big. I've seen a lot of hype around Torrential Gearhulk. And I encourage you to slow your roll on Gearhulk if it's something you're high on.
I'm pretty high on it. I'm still high on it. I know that you kind of go against it because you're like, you know, Teferi shuts down both sides of it. You can't play this as a flash creature. You can't play it as a, you know, you can't get something back because when you play it, you can't cast that spell. So for me, you kill Teferi and then you play your Gearhulk and you win the game.
part of the reason I think that Teferi or Gearhulk is not so good. Is because you really are encouraged to play a lot of counter spells with Gearhulk. Because having that on demand, you know, just whatever's in my graveyard, that's good. A lot of the times, a counterspell is kind of what you were looking for there. And so let's say your plan is to kill Teferi, right? But you filled your deck with, like, counterspells. Sure. You probably have some ways to deal with Teferi. But, like, you just... You cannot always guarantee that he's on the field. And so much of your deck is dead to Teferi if you're really synergizing with your Gearhulk.
Okay.
Although Gearhulk Dig Through Time is a sick play, so
yeah, and this is the one place where you can really play Gearhulk and Dig Through Time together.
So
other than Commander, where you only get one of each.
I was gonna say in a non-white version of a control deck, I think you definitely want to play Gearhulk. Like if you're playing like a Grixis or a blue-black control, and you have a lot of ways to kill.
That's kind of where I went right away. Is I'm thinking blue-black control. You know, you get the hero's downfall that white. Blue doesn't get, you know, they don't have great spot removal. You get Downfall, you get Bile Blight, you get Fatal Push, Heroes Down, or what is the other one? Cast Down.
Murderous Raider, if you
Thought Seize, Languish.
I mean, at least a few of those can fit into Esper with the current mana, right?
That'll be the question, is whether or not we have the mana good enough for Esper, because you've got a lot of things like Supreme Verdict, which are double white, you've got a lot of double blue, you've got a lot of double black. That seems really tough, especially in allied colors.
I think double black is probably out, but like single black, probably gonna do the trick. So if you're looking at like Fatal Push or Cast Down,
so I like I was thinking another deck that I really like, Gearhulk in is like a Scarab God type deck. You know,
yeah, that'd probably be double black value if you're doing Scarab God. Scarab God's a little scary into if you're putting all of your eggs in, hoping the opponent doesn't have to Fairy Basket.
And I mean, I also think there's just other ways to deal with Scarab God now that there weren't in Standard.
Well, you can cast Scarab God is not casting, though, right? Like, you just put it straight into the graveyard.
No. So the reason it's bad into Teferi is because it's a 5-mana sorcery that doesn't impact the battlefield right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you tap out 5 mana and then they Teferi bounce it.
Well, you're not going to tap out 5 mana in a control deck.
Okay, let's say, yeah, but it takes 9 mana before you can activate it right away, right? Like, it's just, you're asking a lot, and you're really hoping here.
Yeah,
it's a pretty huge blowout.
I do want to try some blue-black. It'll be interesting to me. That might be a too big of a blowout, though. And what you're kind of alluding to is that I think Esper will be the best control deck, and I don't think it's that yet. I'm waiting on, you know, a year down the road, we might have another blue-black dual land that helps us make the deck more viable. And I think that as the format grows, we're going to try and shift towards that Esper. We saw a little bit of the same in Frontier. We saw blue-black control decks for a long time, and they didn't branch into Esper until kind of recently when there was a few more lands that let them do that.
Yeah, I am not sure if it was a land issue as much as a card quality issue back then.
Yeah, a little of both.
I do think there's the format will need to settle a little bit before Esper really takes off. But I think that's as much about just knowing what is important to fight in the format, right?
I don't
think that's just land.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I want to kind of bring us to the end of our show here, since this was, this is kind of our first show. We want to make sure that people listen through, they don't get bored of us starting to argue about the minutiae of cards here, and we want to tell everyone about all of the places where they can reach us. So we have Pioneer MTG is the subreddit that we've been going through. That's a great way to find us, as well as to find links to our podcast and to our Discord, which has been a great and active community already. We've got like 750 as of this, you know, it's been out for 2 days. That's pretty good, I think, for the Discord. Did you say you had a Facebook group as well?
I'm on a Facebook group as well. Let me get the name real quick if Matt wants to talk about his information while I'm doing that.
Well, I was also going to say we also have a Twitter as well, which is the MTG Pioneer.
So Magic Pioneer Format MTG is the current Facebook group that's got like 3,000 members. So we've
perfect.
We've got like 700 people as well over the last few days. It was a Frontier, but now it's Pioneer. So you can find us on Facebook as well.
All right, nice and simple. You can find me on Twitter at SciTurkey1. And I have a whopping 40 followers, not to brag. Not to brag, guys. But since we're throwing the numbers out there, figured I'd just slide that in.
But yeah, the at MTG Pioneer is the one for the podcast itself, so that's a good place to hear of us. And we will link to all of the places where we are streaming. We should be set up on iTunes, on SoundCloud, on
Podbean.
I don't Yeah, Podbean. I don't think we were doing... What was the one we're not doing?
Burberry? I'm not sure.
Yeah, those are some good places to find us. I mean, however you're listening now should be the best way to hear from us. And you can also at me at that Twitter, because I've been running that one for a couple days here.
Okay, yeah. So if you guys want to contact me, I'm Yo Schwenke, or at Yo Schwenke on Twitter, which is YOSCHWENKY. And currently I'm archiving all of the old podcast episodes we did about Frontier. So if you want to kind of get some content now, we have tons. We have hours and hours and hours of content you can listen through. And I'm posting those daily at the moment on Twitter. And you can also find me on Podbean. It's under my Cardboard Samurai channel. And that's all I have to say.
And we're going to be, you know, I'm going to be brewing this format 24/7. So anytime you want to at me at Twitter, message me on Discord, find me on Reddit, anything you want, I will be happy to talk anything and everything related to Pioneer. And that's really what this podcast is all going to be about, is us getting excited, finding things that are fun, finding things that will help you win the format, etc., etc. That's why we are the First Pioneers, keeping our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And that'll be all for our first episode.